This video is brought to you by the current discounts available at Good.Store, a store that sells really good stuff and gives all of the profit to charity. Just going over to Google. I'm going to type in Jesus and I'm going to click I'm feeling lucky because that's a thing that they still do. Here we are at Jesus. I mean, while we're here, let's give a little money to Wikipedia. It's better than Google now, and it has the budget of roughly 1% of Google's legal department. Jesus. Also referred to as Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, and many other names and titles. That's got a link. We've got Jesus. We've got Yahweh. Emmanuel. That's totally different. Master. Logos. Son of God, son of man, son of David, son of Joseph. This guy's got a lot of dads. Sorry, that was overly silly. That's not what this video is about. I see pictures of Jesus. We all see pictures of Jesus. There's baby Jesus. Look, he looks like a baby. When Jesus was born, he was naked, probably pretty bald, and he was baby-shaped. But if we check out, one thing all of these Jesuses are gonna have in common is that this guy has got long hair and a beard. He's got long hair and a beard. He was in good shape, Jesus. This guy's got long hair and a beard. He's got long hair and a beard. Long hair and a beard. He's got long hair and a beard. This is what happens to me. I get overly curious about things and I type in, why did Jesus have long hair? And then I don't look at the AI overview. I'd use it if it was working. Give me a Wikipedia page, please. We got true Christian, did Jesus have long hair? We can speculate, but ultimately we don't know. I'm aware. They didn't have cameras back then. No, Jesus did not have long hair. Paul said that it was a dishonor for a man to have long hair. We've got early disagreement in the Reddit thread, and also this has 20 upvotes. So like this didn't reach people who know what's going on. I'm going to immediately disregard this and move down to our second link, Stack Exchange. Oh, Christianity Stack Exchange. I didn't know that was a thing. Also, only 10 upvotes, though. Why aren't people curious about this man's hairstyle? It's a big part of Jesus. This is the Jesus that I feel like I saw a lot. This man has blue eyes. He's got blue eyes. There's this, a rugged Jesus. He looks older than 33, but okay. This Jesus, seen him around. Another long hair and a beard. This Jesus, a very different long hair and a beard vibe. So, like, some of these Jesus I'm getting very, like, a safe guy that I'd feel okay to be around. Like, I'd trust him with my drink. This Jesus, though, I mean, I'm not saying I don't trust this Jesus with my drink, but he's like a strong Jesus. Like a 70s construction worker. We've got AI Jesus here. Stunning Jesus Christ picture printable wall art. Ay, ay, ay. St. Paul says hair is long and unnatural for men. Why do our portraits of Jesus show him with it? The pictures of Jesus we have do not derive from any physical description we have of him in the Bible, because there is none. There's no physical description of Jesus in the Bible. Basic image comes from a long artistic and iconographic tradition influenced, among other things, by the Shroud of Turin. But that isn't Jesus. That has to be the other way. When was the Shroud of Turin from? So we've got this Jesus shroud and he's got long hair and a beard. When was the Shroud of Turin discovered? Oh, 1354. Okay, maybe that was part of it. I don't know why I thought this was relatively new. Maybe this is why Jesus has long hair and a beard. Is it that easy? Does Jesus have long hair because of the Shroud of Turin? A common objection. Ooh, all right. This person has a blog. This is what the internet used to be. Weird stuff from a person who says stuff. A common objection to the Shroud of Turin is that the hair on the main shroud is too long to be Jesus's hair. No, that's the opposite of what I want to know. All right, so we've got like one piece of information already that people back then didn't have long hair, or men didn't. So I could type in like, did men have long hair in biblical times? Is it wrong for men to have long hair? What is that? Do people in biblical times have long hair or long beards? This is Quora. Quora has become really difficult to use as well, by the way. Like, I'm not sure which. So this is like promoted by Savings Pro. Why is Jesus usually depicted with long hair? This reminds me of that game where you have to put different shapes into matching holes. What is happening? Why is the internet so hard now? Things used to be possible. This has 6 upvotes. I think there are at least 2 possibilities. One, artistic depictions of Christ are just simply wrong. Possibility Christ might have been a Nazarite. This involved a vow which could be lifelong or temporary to abstain. He was from Nazareth, but I think that's different from being a Nazarite. My wife beats me? Why am I being advertised a shirt that says my wife beats me? Hang in there. It gets worse. Earliest depiction of Jesus. He has long hair and a beard. Is it? Depictions of Jesus? A mural. One of the first bearded images of Jesus from the late 4th century. That's before the Shroud of Turin. Why did it tell me that the Shroud of Turin was part of this? Why hasn't anyone have what I think is a very interesting question? And I've just answered it for me. This is very frustrating. This is the page that I want, though. Most images of Jesus have common number of traits, almost universally associated with Jesus, although variants are seen. Bearded Jesus, long hair, emerged around 300 AD, but did not become established until the 6th century. Early Christianity, this is 3rd century. Is that Jesus? That guy does not have long hair and a beard. Which one of these people is? No, that's Jesus. This is Jesus. He's a baby. He just looks like a baby. That's not helpful. Babies don't have long hair. Usually, though sometimes. The healing of the paralytic, one of the first images of Jesus. That man, is that him? Who is it? Which of you is Jesus? None of you have long hair. So the first images we have of Jesus don't have long hair, and now I know that. There just wasn't a lot of pictures of Jesus. He's got long hair and a beard. The earliest one he doesn't, but then suddenly he does, and apparently nobody has any idea why. Once the bearded long hair Jesus became the conventional representation, his facial features slowly began to be standardized. This is wild. So we have no idea what this guy looked like, but just through art, people fed into each other and built a Jesus. They built a Jesus from scratch. Why choose a beard, though? Why was that picked? And why can't I search for this? Trimmed practical beards were standard in Galilee and Judea, as well as many other parts of the Mediterranean, but not long hair. So a way of making him consistent with the visualization of the divine in Rome. You know what I realize, having gone down this rabbit hole for way too long, is that, like, I am me. I can message people who might have an answer to this question. Here's what I have written. Hello, Dan. I just started working on a video called Why Does Jesus Have Long Hair? And I thought it would be really cool to potentially transition my naive bumbling around into a conversation with you. Is that something you might be into? It would be on YouTube. But first, this has been a weird video, and I'm excited to share this interview with you because it is awesome. But right now, there is a site-wide sale going on at Good.Store. Everything from our tea and our coffee and our underwear and our socks and our eco-friendly cleaning products, all that stuff. You don't even need a discount code. You can get 10% off any order over $50, 15% off any order over $75, and 20% off any order over $100. I live in a very dry place. Sunbasin and soap is some of the best soap I've ever used in my life. You might be giving yourself a little bit of something, or you might be doing some holiday shopping. Either way, all of those discounts are available now, and they apply automatically at checkout, so you don't even need a code. All right. Now, on to the interview.
The internet has failed me in my quest to figure out why Jesus had long hair. I've got some information that it was likely that he had a beard. I've got a bunch of competing theories. One of them, I'd like you to know, is that it started with the Shroud of Turin, which is wild because that was discovered 1,000 years after Jesus started being depicted with a beard.
So, yeah. It so definitely didn't start right there. No. And yeah. In fact, a lot of people who would point out the Shroud of Turin, one of the reasons it's likely not real is precisely because it reflects a medieval conceptualization of Jesus's appearance, a medieval European conceptualization.
And it was discovered in medieval Europe.
Convenient,
as things often are. Do we have any little pieces of Jesus's body anywhere? Or that's probably not a thing.
Probably not a thing, nor do we likely have pieces of anything that he ever touched. Whether a cross or a cloth, or the sudarion is this famous cloth that it was supposed to have left a sweat imprint from his face, which is
I never have that happen with cloths. Like, sometimes I put cloths on my face and never is my face there when I take it away.
Well, you know, it's all divine, so it works just a little bit differently for if you're divine.
First question, did Jesus have long hair?
Probably not. The best we can do is try to determine what the average person in this time and place would have looked like. And the best we can figure is that he probably had about medium length hair that probably would not have been very well kept and probably would have had about a medium length beard. If he were your average first century CE Galilean Jewish person, that's probably what he would have looked like. That's about the best we can do absent any actual direct corresponding accounts
Which,
or anything like
you
that.
Know, it's from what I could see, there's not much in the Bible about what Jesus looked like. No. And also, they definitely didn't have cameras.
No, nothing like that. No on the spot, you know, portrait artist to have him in a tiny little go-kart. You know, they didn't have any Disneyland style things like that going on.
No caricatures,
unfortunately. Or if they did have him, he didn't feel up to paying for him. And that's kind of the problem is there's no description that is remotely contemporaneous.
Sure.
And so everybody's just kind of got to make him sound like whatever they want him to look like, which is where we start retreating to kind of tropes and classic classic motifs right. of what like a wise person or a divine person gotcha. Might look like.
So when I see more like modern or like 1970s, 80s, 90s depictions of Jesus, you know, he's got long hair and a beard. He looks like Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's got like facial features that we seem to have sort of agreed upon over time. But there's also like the vibe changes, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it becomes like there's like a kinder faced Jesus. And then there's like some more stern faced Jesuses. But when I was growing up, there was sort of a very sort of friend looking guy. But you can do that with long hair and a beard. You don't yeah. have to do that with long hair and a beard. But I think it, in like in a weird way, even up until like my lifetime, the way Jesus is drawn is kind of about the version of Jesus we want to tell people about, reflecting the modern vibes. Like he kind of at this point has to have long hair and a beard. Yeah. But you can like draw him in a way that like with the culture that I am a part of right now, gives me an understanding that is like the current version of Jesus that is being taught in the church that I went to.
It's not quite the buddy Christ of yeah. dogma fame, but it is a gentle, welcoming Christ. That is the Jesus of, you know, the late 20th, early 21st century. And this is just the reality of how we conceptualize deities. We want them to reflect our values and things like that. We are creating them in our own image. And I think the long hair and the beard has just become so embedded within the foundations that to depart from that, you kind of lose the market. And a good example of this yeah. is just Jehovah's Witnesses. They have tried to represent Jesus in a way that would more accurately reflect first century CE Galilean appearance, where he's got kind of slightly curlier, shorter, bushier hair, and then a medium length beard. And it's just not popular. People are not like, that's my Jesus. You know, yeah. That's the guy I want to follow, because it doesn't look like what we expect. And what we expect is such a big part of resonating with the representation of someone like Jesus.
Would that sort of like push those people who are, you know, trying to get people to pay attention to their ideas about Jesus, would it push them to change that conception? Or have they sort of like solidified on that as a important part of their faith?
When you look at the representation of Jesus throughout time, and particularly in the last 500 years or so, you frequently see representations of Jesus where it's much closer to the ethnic appearance of the artist. You know, you have Asian looking Jesuses, mm-hmm. you have African looking Jesuses, because the artists and the communities look like that type of Jesus. And ever since the medieval period in Europe, we've had European Jesus, which now turns into blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus.
Yeah, blue-eyed Jesus. Which, I saw yeah. some of those.
yeah. And this, and we have these accounts, you know, these fake letters about Pilate, you know, where he like sends a letter to Tiberius and he's like, and I saw Jesus and he had hazelnut colored hair and then light skin. And the idea is to contrast him against the swarthy skin of all the other Jewish people around him. So there's a very white supremacist kind of Jesus that comes out of the need to represent Jesus in a way that, you know, vibes with
sure.
the folks who are wanting to spread that image. And so there, I think you can incrementally change how you want to represent Jesus. But if you take too large a step, you can't gain the purchase that you need to mm-hmm. among your audience. And so I think it's incrementalism is the way to develop your own personal Jesus, as the great poet once said.
Any depictions of Jesus that don't have that vibe, that don't bring people along with it, those fall away and we don't remember them.
They tend to, yeah. And this is the cool thing about some of the earliest depictions of Jesus that we have, because the shoulder length hair and medium length beard Jesus really originates around the 4th century CE. And in the 2nd and 3rd century, what we see, sometimes Jesus is represented as kind of a youth at his baptism, mm-hmm. where he's even a little androgynous. He has kind of meatier hips and, you know, almost the appearance of breasts. But we see him as a younger character. And then you see representations of him that are kind of drawing on the representation of young deities. The Good Shepherd representation of Jesus is as a young, beardless, medium length hair, kind of Adonis figure. And this is like Dionysius. This is how the younger deities are represented. And so the earliest depictions of Jesus have him reflecting the conceptualization of young popular deities. And then in the 4th century, it's the Zeus and Apollo ideas of a deity as having longer, curlier hair and a longer beard. That kind of takes over.
That iconography of the king of the gods having long hair and beard, that was well established by that point?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, we do see it around the 1st and 2nd century, obviously in Greco-Roman statuary and art and things like that. There are a bunch of different conceptualizations that are kind of competing for each other.
Right.
You had the philosopher Jesus, And the philosophy,
which is also kind of like a long hair beard vibe.
It's usually a medium length hair and a beard vibe, but it's kind of like a messy one. Like, I don't know if you're aware of that website. I don't know if it's still around, but it's like homeless man or tenured professor. It's kind of the scruffy hair. And, yeah. You know, like Socrates is represented as kind of being short and ugly. Like
right.
you had
he's
a bunch of
like
different
slouching.
You had kind of this stock imagery that was associated with your philosopher. And then you mm-hmm. had your good shepherd. And then you had your youthful deity. And then you had your elder deity. And so there were a bunch of different things that were kind of competing for how are we going to represent Jesus. And then the fourth century, it's really the Byzantine representation of Jesus as the elder deity that kind of takes over. And this is where imperial power becomes linked with Christianity. And so that's probably what helps that conceptualization to become anchored to how we're going to think about Jesus. And you have the Pantocrator and the Cosmocrator representations of Jesus that become phenomenally popular in European art, starting in the 4th and 5th centuries and going all the way down to the 19th and 20th centuries, where you start to get lighter colored hair, lighter colored skin, as white supremacy starts to bubble closer to the surface.
Yeah, as like our conception of what race is and how much it matters.
Is our God going to be more like us or more like the people that we're enslaving and oppressing? And obviously, we want him to be more like us. When Christianity in the Roman Empire is headquartered in Constantinople, you have usually what's considered the start of the Byzantine Empire. You have people from that part of the world who are in charge of things. And so the art is representative of that that culture.
Right. And so at that point, of all these different competing images, the one that is sort of more aligned to the Greco-Roman elder deity is the one that becomes very popular.
That becomes the most popular one. And it gets pretty securely embedded in the foundations of our understanding of who Jesus is for the next 1600 years.
So this is much more of an evolutionary process and mimetically evolutionary, where it's like, what is the version of Jesus that is stickiest for people, that is doing all of the work of making people feel like this is an authority that they're going to live their lives by, that they're going to believe in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's without any kind of firsthand account, the best you've got is what look is going to get the point across. Mm-hmm. And what is that point that we want to get across? Is it philosopher? Is it miracle worker like Moses? Because you have some of the catacombs in Italy, you have Jesus with what looks like a magic wand. It's like a mini Moses staff. And he's like, dude, but he's got the shorter hair. You've got what kind of Jesus do you want? And the Pantocrator, the cosmic ruler and all that becomes the central and the dominating Christ of the Roman Empire and the Byzantine Empire. And then into Europe, we've got European imperialism. Obviously, they want that big iron fist cosmic ruler, Jesus.
How much of what you're telling me is like pretty like settled stuff, and how much do you feel like is like where you're coming from?
I think it's fairly settled stuff. There's a great New Testament scholar named Joan Taylor who published a book back in 2018. I think it's called What Did Jesus Look Like or something like that, where she reviews kind of where the scholarship has been on this. And from what I can tell, there's not really a lot of debate about these kinds of things. Certainly, we have no firsthand account of who Jesus was. The notion that these early depictions that we're seeing in the catacombs and that we're seeing carved in sarcophagi and things like that, those are supposed to reflect classical motifs associated with young gods and older gods and all that kind of stuff. That's a consensus view. I don't really think there's much doubt at all about that. And then we have a bunch of these letters, the letter of Lentulus and the accounts of Pilate and all these. And these are widely agreed to be medieval and later forgeries. And those are the ones that are they're saying, oh, we had shoulder length hair and all this kind of stuff. So yeah, there's not really a lot of room for debate about this, because the notion that anybody has uncovered or is going to be able to uncover any kind of direct evidence. I think there was a body that was discovered first century ish in a place called Al-Qadama, which is the field of blood, you know, where Judas was supposed to have died. The hair was preserved on this body, and it was kind of auburny hair, and it was about 3 to 4 inches in length. So that could have been representative of the standard coif at the time period, but it probably wasn't somebody who was native to the area, because this grave site was generally used for foreigners, for outsiders, for people who did not have family in the area. So like, that's the closest we can get to actual archaeological evidence of what somebody might have looked like. The folks who study artistic representations of Jesus, and they're all in pretty widespread agreement. There's not a ton of debate.
I'm actually much less interested in what Jesus actually looked like, and more interested in how we settled on a look. Can I ask you to speculate now?
Okay.
Why do you think that the sort of Adonis younger god image of Jesus was sort of competitive there for a little while?
It probably was something that helped the earliest followers of Jesus in the marketplace of ideas, because there are ways that early Christianity kind of looks and acts like a mystery religion. A lot of the mystery religions were associated with rather young deities.
Is that a term, a mystery religion?
A mystery religion would be a religion that had kind of secret rites, where they went into caves, they went underground, they did it in the dark of night, they did different kinds of rituals that were not open to
very
the public.
Appealing.
And a lot of these were popular in the first and second century in the Greco-Roman world. The figure of Jesus, early Christians were probably trying to compete with those. When you look at the way early Christianity is described, like the earliest description of Christianity that we can probably count on is Pliny the Younger, who says that it's a religion for women and slaves. And so these would have been people who, you know, were not participating in the large scale public things. Uh-huh. These are people who probably would have found a lot. What's that?
The meek.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who Jesus's message would have resonated with. And those were the people who probably would have gotten down with. We got a meeting, middle of the night. We're going in this cave.
A weird thing to have become like the thing that is the figurehead of the Byzantine Empire.
Well, and
then also, you know, the current conception of Christianity as a sort of dominant force in culture.
I think the conceptualization of Jesus as more the cosmic ruler is one of the things that facilitated that pivot away from this is the religion of the downtrodden to this is the religion of empire.
Right.
And I think you even see that in the Hebrew Bible, because you have two different conceptualizations of God. You have El, who is the Northwest Semitic patriarchal high deity, who's benevolent and kind. And then you have Adonai, who is the Northwest Semitic storm deity, who is a youthful warrior. Mm. And, you know, the divine profile that you want front and center is whatever is going to serve your interests. And so the folks who want to go conquest, they're going to have the warrior deity out front. The folks who want a God who's going to ensure that their child is born healthy and that they can be breastfed and stuff like that, they're going to have the benevolent elder statesman deity front and center. And so I think the Roman Empire was like, we're going to go with the cosmic ruler guy. And this is around the same time period that women lose their leadership status in the church, because you have women who they're the patrons of churches. They own them. They fund them. They have leadership roles in the churches. And it's like the 5th, 6th century when you stop seeing inscriptions acknowledging the ecclesiastical leadership or the funding of women. And I don't think it's a coincidence that this is when the power shifts to the empire.
I interrupted you as you were talking about the women and slaves being who Christianity was for, and that having to do with the youthful deity look.
Yeah, I think the youthful deity, the good shepherd, is associated with that youthful deity. And I think that the good shepherd is one of the earliest depictions we have of Jesus, where he's kind of a lithe, younger figure, and he's got like a lamb on him, and he's got the shorter, curly hair and no beard. And I think that would have been the kind of figure that would have resonated more with folks who are looking for guidance and leadership and are looking for someone who's going to understand their kind of coming from the gutter position. If you're a Les Mis character, the good shepherd who's out in the field and works with his hands and is young is going to be more appealing than, you know, the guy in the toga and the staff with the long hair and the beard. I think that plays into it as well, that you have the downtrodden and the social outcasts who are looking for a deity who's going to be easier to relate to. And then the Roman Empire gets hold of him and they're like, no, we need to beef him up. We need to make him someone we can, you know, who can say, by this sign, conquer, and we can put on the banners and take to war.
It makes a lot of sense given how I sort of imagine how humanity works, which is it's all evolutionary. You know, it's all sort of like what works in a moment. And what something looks like to me now in 2025 might not be pushing all the same buttons as it did if I look at like one of these sort of Byzantine pieces of art with Jesus sort of as a flat haloed deity. But I'm sure that it held that sway to them.
Yeah, we are looking through very different interpretive lenses, and we have very different experiences. And so obviously it's going to resonate differently with us. And the halo comes from Greco-Roman art as well. That is drawn from their representation of divine beings as well. So it's very clearly drawing from the broader artistic milieu to try to probably attract folks from the broader culture. So there's a missionary element to it as well, but also to give the folks who are inside the movement a sense that their own deity is on the same level, can compete with them, is of a similar type.
Well, I feel like my curiosity has been satisfied so much more in the last 20 minutes than it has been in hours of Googling and reading Quora articles and Reddit threads from people who were occasionally on the same track as you, but largely not. And a fair number of people who thought that it was really sacrilegious to depict Jesus with long hair.
Oh, really?
Because it says in the Bible that that was a not a good way for men to.
Yeah, you have Paul saying, isn't it, doesn't even nature itself testify that it is shameful for a man to have long hair?
And doesn't even nature itself, I guess it's taken us a while to realize how cultural we are.
Well, yeah, and that's why I don't listen to Paul when Paul says, this is nature, man. I say, I don't think you know what nature is, Paul. But yeah, at that time period, the medium to short hair would have been more stylish. It would have been healthier because lice was very common back then. And so the longer your hair was, the harder it is to keep clean, the more likely you are to get lice. So that was for the elite as well. That is something that kind of makes you go, when you read that and then you look at your picture of Jesus hanging on the wall and you're like, that's pretty long hair.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for taking a little time out of your day and satisfying my curiosity effectively. It makes so much sense that it would be about, you know, people's conception of what is easy to believe in and what they want to believe in, what different groups of people want to believe in, and that mm-hmm. competing images of Jesus in particular is fascinating.
And even today, you can get on Twitter and you can see everybody's concept of Jesus or God is all different, very much made in their own image and all intended to compete with the others, because you don't want a Jesus somebody can't relate to, then they're not going to stick around.
And kind of there you have it. I don't know why Google failed me so much, but that is a story that both makes intuitive sense and was also very illuminating and illustrative in terms of the details. So that was cool. Glad that I got to do that. Thanks to Dan McClellan. You can find his YouTube channel. It's linked in the description. He's also on all the other social media.
Very cool and smart guy.